Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast, was recorded with Zoom audio.
Zoom, zoom, zoom!
ASAP.
This is another Sean Allen podcast. Apple listeners, please hit that subscribe button, write a review with the 5-star rating ASAP. And if you're listening on Spotify, please follow. Today, my special guest is dating coach, relationship coach, father, husband, star of on TV's Black Love Doc, Nikolai. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Sean? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I've been looking at the social media following the Black Love Doc, and you guys have been getting a very positive response. How has that been?
Man, it's been more than what I could have ever expected or anticipated. To be honest with you, the love has been awesome. It's been well received. And, you know, going into it, I had no idea what to expect, what, you know, could, you know, come from this. And, you know, I just thought it was an amazing opportunity for me and Roxy to tell our story. And yeah, man, it's been, the turnout has been great. The response from the fans and the people that are tuned into the show have really showed an interest in me and Roxy and just our love and our story. So, I mean, it's a blessing, bro. It really is. It's great. It's been great.
Do you think that you guys are getting a different response next to the other couples? Or do you see, I see it, but do you see it?
I don't know, because I think when I watched the show and the shows in previous years, I think everybody has their own unique story, which I think is great within itself. Right. And just from the other stories within our season, I think everybody has, you know, their own unique story. And I was invested in all of them. I thought they were all great. Right. I think there's something to do with long distance, in my opinion. Right. That people struggle wrapping their mind around, because whether they've tried it before or they've heard friends talk about it, it's an extremely difficult and challenging feat. So the fact that we're kind of being highlighted as somebody that, you know, we did it almost makes us seem like an anomaly, which I don't think we are. But I think it just kind of puts us in a spotlight of like, or here's two people. Not only did they do long distance, but they did it from continent to continent, which is a little bit crazy.
Intercontinental, right?
Intercontinental, yeah.
How long have you been a relationship dating coach?
I've been doing this for a little over a year. I have really started pushing like the marketing and really tapping into this since kind of the beginning of this year. And really for me, what happened, I initially was going in the process of getting my master's for marriage family therapy. I wanted to be a relationship therapist. And while I was in my studies, I came to find out, because all my professors were also practicing, you know, therapists. And one of the commonalities that I was finding across the board is a lot of the times when people are seeking help with relationship therapy, it's a little bit too far down the rabbit hole. It's a little past. A lot of the times it's on the brink of divorce, or somebody is already completely checked out and they're just kind of going through the motions as the last straw before they actually finalize their split. And whether it's like through the attorney saying, hey, why don't you guys try to just go through some therapy first? So I, from what I gathered, is a lot of the times it's far too late, you know, and therapists aren't miracle workers. Like, it's, they can advise and can give you different things that can, you know, strengthen or try to help, you know, blossom or rejuvenate the relationship. But at the end of the day, it takes two people with a willingness to want to give it a try. And if one of the pieces is checked out, it's really hard to overcome. And because of that, while I was in school, I decided, you know, this is not the realm of which I want to operate. You know, to take on that much energy of just struggle and hardship and getting constantly all the bad of the relationship, I felt that I can make my mark in another way. And I find that if you can get in early on and help people build the skills or kind of just shape their perspective of how they look at relationing and finding a lifetime partner, if you can build that foundation early, prior to even finding Mr. or Mrs. Right, that's just going to set you up with greater success and a greater likelihood of you being able to get through difficult times in your relationship, because you're truly finding somebody that's compatible, as opposed to finding somebody 10 years down the line, 5 years down the line, you realize you guys aren't compatible at all. And now you're going through shit. And it's like, man, this is just not going to work. So helping people find the right compatibility and making sure that they're, you know, displaying and reflecting the attributes to the people that they want to try to attract and bring into their life.
That's pretty interesting. I agree with you too, because that is, you saw the area for, like you said, the commonality. You were saying that, like, people are trying to fix relationships or marriages that's already broken. How about I try to do this from the beginning and prevent and get all this out at the beginning?
Exactly.
And, yeah, that definitely is a good approach. And that's funny, because I announced on my Patreon that I was going to have you on the show. And any questions anybody have, somebody sent me something, and it kind of lends itself to, well, it lends itself to what you just said. I'm going to read this.
Okay.
It says, "Dear ASAP, I've been seeing this incredible woman for the past month, and for the most part, it's been a great experience. However, I do notice a little agitation about the closeness of my family and I. I have 4 siblings, 6 nieces and nephews, and over 20 cousins who all have families of their own, and all of us from the rooter to the tutor are close. Me and my family, we're friends." I don't know what that means. Okay. Then it says, "I'm friends with my family." Okay, I'm friends with my family.
Mm.
My girlfriend on the other end comes from a small family. She was the only child, and at this time, her nor her 2 cousins have families of their own. A very small family. Although I don't think my family is no closer than any other West Indian family, I think because she isn't used to this, it bothers her. We spend a lot of time together, but I think there may be jealousy and or lack of understanding when it comes to my love and closeness for my family. I can see this being an area of tension with us, but what's a great way to deal with it before it becomes a problem and to avoid conflict? That's the end of it. Yeah. My interpretation of that is basically he's, I don't know if this is a man or a woman, they're close with their family and they're, they could see their partner as being, getting irritated or
jealous with the closeness.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, it's actually a great question. And it's something that is quite common actually. And I think the best way to tackle it is, again, I mean, he's already in it, like he's invested. But again, one of the things that I do is early on, you know that family is important to you. Like that's West Indies. I got West Indian blood too. I know family is everything. So if you know that going into it, it's one of those things where you have to make sure you're dating somebody that, one, they don't have to be as invested or as close to their family, but at least somebody, for like this example, they come from his girlfriend comes from a small family. So maybe it's not her norm, but sometimes when it's not your norm, that could be something that's enticing or exciting. Wow, I've come from a small family. This is something that is new to me. I love that. That's the type of person that he, before knowing the situation, should have been trying to look for. Somebody that is, whether they also have a big family and family is also important to them, or if they're not, somebody that looks at family as like, wow, this is something that I want for myself as well. I look at different scenarios on a spectrum, and they don't have to be right in line, but they can't be polar opposite. So if family is extremely important for him, and to her it's the opposite and it gives her anxiety, big family, closeness, all that gives anxiety to her, then that's gonna draw extreme tension and problems within the relationship. And it's family. There's nothing he can do about that. I mean, he's not gonna turn his back to his family, nor should he. I mean, that's family. Like, there's nothing wrong. There's no character flaw that says, oh, he shouldn't, you know, have a closeness with his family. But I would say, in the situation that he's currently in, there's a couple things that I would look at. If he's dating somebody that has anxiety or just struggles with how close he is to his family, if this isn't forever and he thinks this person, he's really invested in this person, it's his responsibility to make them feel comfortable and understand that despite me having a closeness, whether there be my best friends, my moms, my cousins, despite me having as close of a relationship as I have with them, you are my number one. I'm going to put you as my priority. There are times when people are super close to their family and they choose family over the relationship, and that is wrong. And then that's where I would have to side with the partner. You can be close to your family. I'm very close to my sister, one of my best friend, my parents are a friend. Like, I have a really tight-knit family, the way I was raised. But I would never put them over my wife or over the person that I was viewing as somebody that was going to be forever. So it would be their responsibility to make their partner understand that, yes, I'm close to my family. And they have, and the other partner has to respect that, but they also have to make them know that you are my number one. This, you are my priority. You do come first. And you can't just say it. You have to also show it with your actions. But, you know, with the kind of a long-winded response to kind of narrow it down and fine-tune it, I would say to start, you have to make sure that, one, your partner has to be okay with you having a relationship
right
with your family. Like, they can't, if they say, like, you can't be close to them anymore, that's not good. That's a deal breaker. But you also, the one that's close to the family, has to make it clear to your partner that you are my number one and you are my priority. You come first. Everything else comes after, but you can't expect me to disconnect from my family.
Okay, that is some good advice. And they're trying to prevent, I don't know who sent this to me, but they're trying to prevent it becoming an issue in the future. And that goes into what you were saying to where, why you picked your profession. You want to prevent and not try to fix something down the line. You want to prevent it from happening or get it out at the beginning versus waiting 5-10 years down the line.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
the thing that's challenging with relationships, and why a big part of my work is trying to help people reshape their ideologies or their ideas about how they look at relationships. Because if you don't go into a relationship with any type of intention, and a lot of the times when you're young or you just go on with the flow, there is no intention. You meet somebody, there's chemistry, whether it's sexual chemistry, whether it's just a physical infatuation, then it's just like, man, this feels nice, let's just go with it. And sometimes you knock it out the park, and sometimes you swing and you miss. Royally miss, you know, and it takes time for that infatuation, that feeling to go away. And sometimes by the time it goes away, you're already so far into deep. Now it's just like, crap, what the hell do I do now? So by helping people reshape their thoughts about how they perceive relationships and go into it almost like a business partner, looking at it like a business partnership. Are you guys compatible? These are the things that you need. These are the things that you need from a partner to work long term. These are your deal breakers that I don't care how amazing they are. If they have A, B, C, D, there's no way that this could work. And being, you know, very aware of those deal breakers will help you, you know, so much down the line when you're finding a partner.
I agree with that. Do you suggest to that people, well, obviously this is your profession, so get it out at the beginning of the relationship or when you're, but couldn't that be viewed as a little bit aggressive when you are having these hard conversations?
Yeah, what I tell, it's funny, I talk with Roxy, you know, about the, you know, the work I do, or just, you know, talking to her about my ideas or kind of my perspectives. And this recently came up, and I was talking to a client about the early stages of dating. And I specifically said, like, when you're just going with the feels of how you feel and you're just kind of going along with it, there's really no planning, there's no intention, you're just going with it. If it makes you feel great, you stick with it. If it doesn't, then you bow out. But when you're going with intention, you have to go at it almost like an interview. You're like essentially interviewing potential partners to see if they align with your life and the things that you're trying to accomplish, and can they work, you know, within the confinements of the journey that you're on. Are you guys compatible? So essentially it's an interview, but like you said, you run the risk. Like, if you go at it too aggressively, if you make it sound like you're giving somebody the third degree and you're grilling them, asking them all these questions, then, you know, that person is, one, probably going to be extremely turned off by it, and they're not even going to allow themselves to generate any organic chemistry. So because of that, you have to be very, you know, cautious of how you do that. And especially now with online dating and people are actively pursuing partners, I always tell my clients to have fun with it. Like, it should never sound like you're in an interview. It should be conversational. And oftentimes I even suggest playing games. Like, when you first date somebody and you like them, now you're not going to ask all these serious questions on the very first date. To me, I always suggest first date is always a chemistry read. Like, is there anything there? Do we have any type of chemistry? Can we just hold a conversation? Can we get along? So anything serious or of substance, really, in my opinion, doesn't really need to happen in that first meeting. But, you know, second, third date, I always say, if somebody's interest, there's intrigue. Like, you want to know about the person. It's to the point of you want to know the things that are so silly. And right. That's the beauty of relationship. You want to know somebody's favorite color. You want to know what their spirit animal is. You want to know do they sleep on the back? Do they sleep on their side? Like, every little aspect of a partner, when you show interest early on in a relationship, you want to know, and you do a lot of times organically. So when you're actively trying to pursue someone, I always tell my clients, mix it in, like, ask to play a game. Let's play a game, you know, something as silly as 10 questions, 20 questions. You ask 10 questions. Don't ask a question that you're not willing to answer yourself, and mix it in. Mix in, you know, 5 questions of very surface, very plain questions, silly questions. What's your favorite color? You know, do you know how to rollerblade? Things like that. And then also you can throw in, but where do you see yourself in, you know, 5 years? What are your weaknesses? How, you know, things like that. It shouldn't all be peeling onion type questions. It should be a nice balance of very playful, surface level questions with getting in, you know, some questions of substance. And then over time, you know, you would be surprised if you're dating frequently with somebody, a lot of these things are going to get discovered really quickly, and it's going to happen organically.
So here's the thing, though. Here is where it kind of get a little tricky, because you are in a, what people would say, a non-traditional relationship in terms of how you guys met and how long you guys did the intercontinental dating thing, you know? And then you guys, Roxy said in the last episode that we had here at ASAP, that you guys had sex after 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So is your advice, you know, there's not a real or wrong way to do it, right? Like,
there's not a right or wrong way. There's always going to be a gray area. For women specifically, a lot of the times when they're at a place in their life when they're looking for a partner, They're at the point where they no longer want to just have one night stands. They no longer want to just, it feels nice, let's just see where it goes. So with clients like that, I tell them, you know, it is better to wait on sex to really evaluate and vet out somebody's character before, you know, taking it to that level, because men are hunters, and a lot of times when we want what we want, we'll put in, you know, we'll roll out the red carpet, we'll show face, we'll, you know, make them feel like $1 million, and then we get the thing that we want, and then all of a sudden the behavior starts to change. But if you make them wait a little bit longer, is there always that small percentage of a guy that is so hungry, he's going to, if it takes a year, he's going to get the thing that he wants and then bounce? Yeah, but the likelihood of it is much smaller than if you don't make somebody work for it and you give it to them right away and then you see their behavior. I think a guy that is truly invested is going to have a willingness to wait, get to know somebody, and show his character before the sex happens. So when you're going in it with structure, that's what I would suggest. Can't, because with my wife and I wasn't going into it with structure. Me and Roxy, like, that wasn't a proactive way. I wasn't out there looking for,
right,
for a wife. So it does happen organically, and there was a huge risk involved. Like, if Roxy wasn't, you know, self-aware, or she was in a position where she just, you know, she no longer wanted to add to her number. Women always talk about numbers, like, oh, I don't want to have another
many bodies on me.
Exactly. I don't want as many bodies on me. She ran that risk of meeting me. I could have been, you know, somebody just coming to Cape Town looking for fun. We had sex, and then I bounced. And then she would have been stuck, like, damn, like, I got another body on me, and it went to nothing. So there's always that risk, you know. And for her, luckily, she met somebody that were equally compatible, and our chemistry was on, you know, another level, and it worked out for us. And but that I mean, that's not the way I would suggest or recommend doing it when you're actively pursuing somebody, because she wasn't actively pursuing a husband, and I wasn't actively pursuing a wife. It happened organically, and it happens. I mean, it happens all the time, and there's a lot of risk involved with it. So I just say, for people that are actively looking for a partner, they have to be a little more strategic and cautious with it.
But do you find that, you know, looking for a relationship and then getting into relationships after you've been on the prowl or the hunt don't work like the ones that just, like you and Roxy, that just happen out of nowhere? Do you know what I mean? When it happens organically and when you're not looking for it, those relationships seem to work better than the ones from the people who are on the prowl or on the scene. You see what I'm saying? Or is that a thing, or is that in my head?
No, when you say, I'm trying to understand. You know, there's
people
clear.
on dating apps.
So okay.
People who are on dating apps, they're looking, you know, to hook up, or they're looking for a relationship. They're on the market.
You know, I got
versus you.
You
and Mark, you and Roxy, you guys. Uh-huh. You guys were on the market. You guys were available to date, but you guys weren't looking or in that space to look for someone. And it just happened.
Yeah. So I don't think it sounds nicer on paper when you say, oh, you know, it just happened, you know, organically, or just happened. They came when I least expected, because it's the hopeless romantic in us. Like, that's the storybook ending we want to hear, tell ourselves, or everybody wants that, you know, fairy tale ending. So on paper, it sounds nicer, but the divorce rate is 60%. So wow. at the end of the day, you run a bigger risk by just going with the flow and hoping things work out, and kind of throwing stuff at the wall, hoping it sticks, as opposed to being proactive with it. Maybe it doesn't feel, or maybe it didn't come out like, oh, this lust or this infatuation, and there was just these high levels of chemical responses happening between our brains, and we just were connected. Maybe you lose that element, but, you know, finding compatibility and longevity, which is ultimately what we're all looking for, I think you have a better chance of success doing it more strategic.
When I'm dating, when I'm on the market, I tend to ask the harder questions up front or get them out. I think I have. I think I do a great job at, like you said, making it conversational, not making it like an interrogation. But it kind of like in this day and age with dating, I feel like people view people as like disposable, and in relationships, with people are so easy to come by. Does that, you understand what I mean? Like people don't value relationships the way that they did when our parents were coming up. Or,
right. You know? Well, we are disposable. I mean, when you decide to get into a relationship, you're making an active choice to spend your life with somebody. And in a time of, you know, social media and, you know, all these people putting these highlight reels on their Instagram or on their social media pages, it can be challenging and extremely tempting to feel like, man, I can do better, or, you know, what's the next best thing? Like almost like a drug. It's a fix. You got your fix. Right. That was a nice high. Now you're looking for the next high, which is why I put so much emphasis on value and not tangible value. Like, there needs to be a deeper level why. Like, what's your why? Why did you choose this person? And the sex is good and they're extremely attractive or they're nice just doesn't cut it. Like, there has to be a deeper reason of why you're choosing this person. Because if there's not, then they are disposable. You can find somebody else that's good in bed. You can find somebody else that's just or more attractive. Like, things that don't really have any substance or value, it's easy to, you know, move on because relationships are challenging. But if you have a strong why, if somebody adds a level of value to your life that you feel you can't get somewhere else, you're going to be more prone to hold on to that. And you're going to, even when things get difficult, because at the end of the day, you know, this is why, this is the reason why I chose you. And even though our relationship sucks right now, I'm going to continue to choose you because of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you believe that the distance between you and Roxy helped your relationship? Like the long distance thing? The lack of physical contact, do you think that helps or helped in your case with your relationship, your marriage?
I think, yeah, it did. I mean, it forced us to communicate. It forced us to really get to know each other. So I definitely think the long distance played a role. And I think the effort, effort and being proactive in your relationship is so important, and it needs to be a priority. And a lot of the times, and I think this is where the long distance really helped. So when you live together or you're dating and you see each other all the time, seeing each other can sometimes be masked with quality time. Just because you see somebody doesn't mean you're getting to know them. Doesn't mean you're putting any effort in the relationship. It's so easy to confuse like the amount of effort that you're actually putting into the relationship just because you see each other. Oh, we saw each other. We have sex. It's intimate. So it's good. But like, what are you actually doing to strengthen or grow the relationship? And it can sometimes be, you know, hidden in mass with the physical time of just being in the same space. You know, it happens all the time with relationships that get complacent, like, oh, one person was like, you don't see me. And he's like, what are you talking about? I don't see you. I see you every day. You come home at 3 o'clock. We have dinner and, you know, we watch TV together. And then the other person is like, no, but you don't see me. You don't really understand me or how I move. So it happens all the time. Now with long distance, you don't have that luxury, or not really even a luxury, you don't have that ability to mask effort, because if you're not putting in effort, then you're one, out of sight, out of mind, like you're not present. Yeah, right. You're not present at all. And so you're really forced to work on the relationship. You don't have the physical. So you're constantly forced to make a presence in the other person's life. If you truly want it to work, like, yeah, you can, you know, say you're in a long distance, and when it's, you know, when it's easy and convenient, it can, you know, you guys can meet up or whatever, but we're two people that are really trying to make it work. You're both parties are really trying to make an effort to constantly have a presence in the other person's life from a distance. And so you do that with extra communication. You do that with extra time talking on the, you know, phone. You do extra time with, like, being thoughtful about how could, you know, I make this person happy today. You go more above and beyond. And then if you're not, it's easier to feel a disconnect because you don't have the physical. So it's constantly trying to, you know, stay connected and stay present, because naturally, if you don't have that presence, it's at some point it's going to be out of sight, out of mind. We like connection. We want to, we're social creatures, you know, so if you're going to be in long distance, you always have to make it a priority to try to show your presence and your effort to from a distance.
That makes a lot of sense. Did you ever think that you will be, before you and Roxy got together and met, was a relationship coach dating? Was that ever a relationship therapist? Was that ever a thing of yours, or did that happen because of the relationship that you're in?
I've always been a hopeless romantic. I've always believed in the power of love since I was a kid. You know, whether it be like me being elementary school and, you know, 80s R&B, early 90s R&B music, I just felt like the music was talking to me. Like, it just made, you know, sense to me. Or, you know, being in high school, writing love letters for my best friends to his girl because they didn't know how to express themselves, or, you know, they didn't know what to say. So it's always innately been part of me. And it's funny, because when I was in high school, I saw the movie Hitch, and I was like, that's it. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I'm going to be, you know, a relationship consultant. I'm going to be whatever the case may be. I saw that movie and I was like, that's me. I saw myself. And, you know, then I was like, you know, maybe I want to be a sex therapist, because I understood the, you know, the importance of sex. And I just felt like I was always advanced for my age. But then, you know, you have outside sources, people looking at like a high school kid, like a sex therapist or a relationship, like, what do you know about that? Or, you know, and kind of feeding into others, people's, you know, opinions kind of made me mask and kind of bookshelf that idea. And so, I mean, I went through.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, all my 20s, just taking in loads of, you know, personal research and experience and growth. Because I'll be the first to tell you, I made a ton of mistakes. Like, I am not some, you know, altar boy, Bible hugger. Like, I made a lot of bad choices in my dating experience. And then I just reached a point and I really did a lot of self-reflection or just kind of dissecting of why I made these choices then and my willingness to make better choices now. And so I did a lot of that mixed in with, you know, meeting Roxy and our experience and just feeling the growth and the mountains and obstacles we overcame through our own personal journey. I just felt like this was something that I wanted to help other people with. And, you know, I have a wife that is extremely supportive and, you know, sometimes sees the greater good in myself before I see it. And when maybe I was a little reluctant to, you know, go after it or go after this big dream or go after something that's a little untraditional, because I come from a traditional background of, you know, go to school, get a job, you work at your job, and you retire. So
right.
Having somebody that, you know, opened my eyes and pushed me to pursue something that was a little untraditional, outside right. the norm. She's actually, you know, I credit her so much in, you know, having me move the needle to really actively say, you know, this is, despite other opinions, whether it even come from family members, despite other opinions, like, this is something that you're good at. This is a gift and talent of yours. You need to pursue it. So I credit my wife for that.
That's pretty dope. That's. I mean, how can I find me a Rocky? Because, man, somebody who is, especially to be so young, you know what I mean? And to be with so many distractions, you know, it is easy for someone to lose interest in a person or to almost be negative sometimes. So to kind of have a partner who is always positive and rooting you on and who, like you said, see the greater good in yourself before you see it. That is very.
Well, that is one of my whys for Roxy, because I, at my core, one of my weaknesses is being, you know, a pessimist, or some people would call it a realist, which I think is ridiculous. But, you know, just thinking that, oh, that's not possible, or you can't do that, and or thinking people have ulterior motives, just that, and it's not a trait that I like about myself, and I've been working to be better. And so when I met somebody that is the complete opposite, that she can see the greatness in everybody and she really tries to give people the benefit of the doubt and elevate people, I was like, I need some more of that. That was a big influence in my, you know, in my life. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, for somebody who's thinks that they're amazing already and, you know, already has that trait, then that wouldn't be their why. It wouldn't be as hold as much weight. But because of, you know, how I was kind of raised, my dad's, me and my dad are very similar. My dad's like that. He doesn't think he is, but he's extremely pessimistic, or, you know, doesn't, you know, I would call him a glass half empty over a half full guy. And just, you know, through nature, I acquired same mindsets or, you know, skill sets. And so, I'm trying to be better. I see that it's a crutch. And so I use my acknowledgement of that is just trying to constantly reshape my initial thoughts to, you know, overcome those first thoughts that I have. And then I have a wife that also elevates me and pushes me, and she reminds me, and she's there of support. So it just works. And that's where, again, it rolls back to compatibility. As much as when I met Roxy, I had no clue where the relationship was going to go. For our, it started off merely sexual intimacy, you know, infatuation, and slowly but surely, I started to develop a respect for her that I hadn't had for other women in my life. And, you know, with that respect, then I started putting the pieces together of like, okay, can this work? Because I am a realist, and because of, you know, my background of really understanding relationships, as much as I was in my feelings or in my mind, like, oh, this feels so nice, she's amazing, I respect her so much for what she's accomplished as a, you know, single mother, her back, all these things. At the end of the day, I still was putting the pieces together of compatibility. So as we were navigating our relationship, I was still looking at the broader scope and looking past how I felt for her, and started looking at, do these pieces work long term? Whether it's like the type of career she wants, can I live with somebody that, you know, does this type of career? Like her parenting skills, would I be okay with having a wife that mothers, you know, all, you start looking at all the different elements of a real relationship, say, like, right, could this work long term? And then, so, I mean, I, for me, I needed to have a clear cut belief, at least. I mean, we're not all 1,000% right all the time, but I had to believe, as far as like all the things that I needed for compatibility, to believe that she possessed those before, you know, taking it to the level of an engagement and then, you know, further marriage. So there's still, I mean, even though it started off with just feels, there still was, for me, a process of really kind of trying to check the boxes to make sure that I believe that this would work long term.
But it did sound like when you guys first met, like, you guys kind of instantly knew that this was a little bit more than whatever I dealt with before.
Bro, I'll be 100. I was dating. So I talk about it on our podcast, Going the Distance with Nico Rock. When I met Roxy, I was dating somebody in the States. And that's why it's so, a lot of the work that I do, it comes from a place of, I didn't just read a textbook. Like, a lot, everything I've experienced, like, I've had a shit ton of life experiences that has shaped my mindset. And I was living in New York, and I was dating somebody that was in California, and the level of investment that I had in that relationship compared to what I ended up having in the investment with Roxy is night and day. So here we are, two people saying that they're in a long distance relationship. One, before I met Roxy, was, this is convenient, I'm doing my own thing in New York, when they come out to visit me, they visit me, we have a good time. You know, there was very little effort on my end, but technically I'm in a long distance relationship. And then here I am. And then here's another aspect of what a long distance relationship is really supposed to look like. And all my cards are on the table, and I'm showing with my actions that we are going to make this work because this is what we want. And so I was, when I met Roxy, I was seeing somebody, and I was in that place in that other relationship where on paper, they were great. There was nothing wrong with them, but we just didn't have a connection. I didn't have a connection to her the way I would have wanted. And, you know, I would, you know, make excuses for myself, saying that maybe it's the distance, maybe it's, you know, maybe once I move to California, maybe we will, you know, reconnect and I will feel stronger. But it just was never, there was something that was off, despite all the, you know, compatibility things that we had. There was just an element of chemistry that I never felt. And then I meet Roxy and we connected on a whole nother level. And Roxy found out about the other girl. And instead of me trying to hide it, I owned it. And Roxy was done with me. She was like, you know, I'm not another woman. I'm not, right. You know, this is not something that I have to respect her. And I'm just, you know, as much as I like you, that's just not in my character. And it absolutely broke me. And that was kind of almost an aha moment for me as to how much I was falling or feeling some type of way about Roxy. Because in my mind, the idea of Roxy, me, I had been, you know, dating this other woman, you know, on and off for like a little over a year. And it hurt my feel. It made me feel bad that I was going to hurt a good woman and hurt her feelings. But the idea of her being out of my life forever didn't move me in the way that the idea of Roxy being out of my life forever, and I had only known her for, you know, a couple months. Like, I just couldn't, the connection that we had, I was just like, there's no way that this could be it, that this woman is going to be out of my life forever. So I had to pull out all the stops, bro. Like, I put on my salesman cap, and I don't know what I did. I tried to, every which way I possibly could, I had to make Roxy understand that she wasn't a side chick, that this relationship, this chemistry that we had was something that I wasn't anticipating, that I wasn't looking for. She came out of left field, and that I'm not planning on continuing, you know, a relationship with this other woman. I had to explain to her that, like, I don't want to just call her right from here over the phone and be like, hey, this isn't working anymore. I wanted to give her the respect of, you know, talking to her in person, or like just having a longer conversation about where I was coming to the decision of not wanting to proceed forward. But I needed Roxy to know that she wasn't, you know, just some other chick. And, you know, it might have been a week or, and my time in Cape Town was coming to an end too. So now it's even worse because I know time is limited and the ticker's on. And now I'm trying to make Roxy believe that this is for real. And, you know, finally she, you know, took my word for it. Again, that's a character trait that she has, that blind trust that she has, like, okay, I do believe that we have something special. I do believe that he doesn't view me in that light. So there's that element of blind trust and vulnerability of saying like, okay, I'm going to believe you. Because I could have been talking shit, you know? I could have been, you know, blown steam up her ass just because I want to spend more time with her and being extremely selfish. But sometimes there's that element of blind trust that you just have to have, and you go with your gut. And sometimes it's wrong and sometimes it's right. And for our situation, it was right. I mean, the minute I got back, I ended things and I started trying to build a foundation of showing Roxy how serious I was willing to take the relationship. So I mean, I've been through it, man. Like it's been a long process of where I've been in my past to where I am today, and I'm still growing, man. It's a constant reevaluation of self and just trying to be a better man today than I was yesterday. But it's a constant process.
Journey never ends, right?
That journey never ends.
Yeah, yeah, and growing in the growth with the relationship and as an individual should never end as well. You know what I mean? We change and we grow every day. And I think a lot of relationships kind of have issue when one person is growing and the other one isn't. And you know what I mean? Like one person is growing when it comes to spirituality, professionalism, you know, financial, whatever. There's just growth you see in one person, and the other person is kind of the same person they were when they first met. I kind of see that being a thing, you know.
Yeah, it's a thing, and I don't think people need to grow, you know, side by side at the same pace. But again, with deal breakers, like people that are motivated or people that want a better life for themselves, typically want to surround themselves around like-minded individuals. So, of course, they want to be with somebody that also is striving for a level of success or a level of growth within their own life. I mean, I do believe that we're all on our individual journeys. And when you meet the right person who respects you and respects the path that you're on, you're able to go on your individual journeys together. And that's, some people have a perspective of, you know, two people become one. And there's a level of that, I do believe, because ultimately when you make the decision to get married, I think selfishness has to go out the window. Every decision that you make, I think you always have to have the other person in mind when making decisions about how it's going to affect both of you guys. But I do believe that as far as goals and as far as journeys, there is an individual walk of life that you're still on with things that you want to accomplish, with things that you want to do, and you just happen to meet somebody at a right time or the wrong time, and they also have a willingness to go on their own journey just alongside of you.
I agree with that. What advice when your daughter, your bonus daughter, when she comes to you and asks you or start dating, what advice would you have for her?
Dating? She ain't dating, man.
But she got, I mean, she got like five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 years.
She got 20 years before she starts dating. No, I'm kidding. I would feel that I did my job as a role model, as a stepdad, as a dad, however she views me. I feel like I would feel that I was doing a good job if she felt the comfort and being able to come to me and have those type of conversations. It would really make my day, because that's one of the conversation pieces that me and Rocky are always having in our house, just feeling an openness to discuss things that are on your mind and not feeling like you're always going to get a parent's perspective or you're going to get in trouble. Just being able to feel free to express yourself in the things that are on your mind. So if she got to a place where she's ready to date and she came and asked for my advice about it, yo, man, that'd be pretty dope. Advice I would give her would be to know who you are. Don't change the things that make you special. Don't change the things that make you amazing. Obviously, if there are weaknesses that you have and somebody brings out the best of you and you choose to evolve and grow and try to be better, that's something completely separate. That's amazing. But don't ever change the characteristic traits, the personality traits that make you unique and make you special. I think it's so easy to try to conform to somebody so that they like you, and just be comfortable in who you are and know that you are special and know that somebody is going to love you for you. And that's enough. I think that would be for a young girl just starting to date. That would be, I think
that is great
number one advice.
I also do think that she probably would have a hard time trying to date because she got a lot to look up to. You know what I mean? Like, you guys kind of, she lives in home with the blueprint. So she's going to have that, her perception of relationship and love and what it's supposed to be. You know, the bar's kind of high. You know what I mean?
And she
has an examples of what relationship and marriage and stuff is supposed to be. So she's not going to just settle for anything when that time comes for her to start dating. And even just seeking people and friends, I think that, you know, you and Roxy help with that decision making. Even though you probably don't know now, I think that that has a lot to, that's some influence she has on how to select people. And it will, when she gets to dating, that will kind of rub off, you know, romantically and the partner you choose. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. And then that's the best way to do it, through action, through, you know, learning vicariously through what you see. And I think that is what me and Roxy, you know, strive for, whether it's on a relational level of you seeing how husband and wife are supposed to love, or how a man is supposed to treat a woman, how people are supposed to raise kids, even on a professional level, like entrepreneurship or creativity. Just we want to create a space where our daughter is learning vicariously through us and our actions, not just through our words. And if when she gets to a place and we start seeing her, you know, move into those directions organically, it's just, man, it's going to be such a blessing for sure.
That was pretty interesting too, when you said in the doc bonus clip that you have to love this child and not expect anything back. I've never looked at, that's how you look at parenting, but I've never heard it in that perspective. And that was pretty interesting. That was powerful. And that was a lot to digest. I'm not a parent, but I know a lot of people who are in situations where they have children, or they have stepchildren or bonus children, or have to raise their nieces and nephews. And that is how you look at raising a child or having a child.
But yeah, I never heard
it like that.
And I just feel like, from a perspective of a step parent too, because it's different. I mean, there is a level of unconditional love that when the child comes from you or is part of you, when it's your biological child, or I mean, even when you have them at super, super young, then they develop that when they know, like, okay, you're my mom or you're my dad. You have that connection. So yeah, sometimes kids don't always show their love, but a parent knows, like, they, when they come calling mommy or daddy, and the way they look at kid, the way they look at their parents, there's a level of connection that is just special. So sometimes kids will say the meanest things, but they, parents know that, man, my child loves me. And right. I just feel like that dynamic with step parenting, especially because I came into Yaz's life older, well, there's not that unconditional love on both sides. I have to love unconditionally, and she doesn't have to love. It's just a different, like, the way she loves her biological father, whether he's been present or absent, is what I is what I yearn for. Like, man, I want her to yearn for me the way she yearns for her biological father. And it's just difficult, that dynamic of a relationship, to where you have to be willing to put 100% effort in and understand and be okay with them not putting in the any type of effort, a little effort, not the same, or just knowing that it's not reciprocated. And, you know, it's like I said in Black on Black Love, it's strange, because no other relationship dynamic, I believe, we would be accepting of that, like in our friendships and our on our romantic relationship. Like, if somebody's not, you know, putting in effort, then it's just like, okay, like, deuces, like, you're not invested, so why am I gonna invest? But as a parent, you just it's not the same. And especially as a step parent, you don't have that element of unconditional love from the child to the parent.
She's at that age, though, where she is, I mean, we've all been preteen, teen before, so we know that's not an easy journey just personally. So,
right.
You know, navigating through this, you know, you already have the tools anyway. You're a smart person, and Roxy's a smart woman as well. But, you know, keep that in mind, too, when you are, you know, when those challenges come up, you know, you got to remember too that she is that age where, you know, I gave my parents problems when I was, you know, a preteen and teen, you know what I mean? So on top of that, you have to, you understand what I mean?
1,000% sure. I agree with you 1,000%. We're actually reading a book together. So for any of your listeners who have kids that are in the tween years, my stepdaughter's 12, she's going to be 13 in February. So anybody that's parenting that age, girls specifically, there's a great book that we're in the middle of called Untangled, and it specifically just talks about the behaviors of, you know, young tweens that are kind of transitioning into, you know, young adulthood, and just all the different elements of, you know, characteristic traits that and behaviors that you can anticipate and expect when you think things are going wrong, or just things that you should be aware of. It's an amazing read. It's very informative. So we haven't finished it yet, but it's because we're kind of in the thick of things, where it's funny to read the book and then laugh, like, yep, they nailed this one right on the head. Yep, they nailed this one right on the head. So it's called Untangled. I highly recommend the book for somebody raising a young girl.
Who does your branding? Romanticize, Roxy. You guys all have these word plays on your screen names, and who's the brain behind that?
Well, Nico Rocks, I don't even know. I don't want to take the credit for it if I wasn't the one who came up with it. The idea of Nico Rocks has been, I mean, we started that concept while we were doing long distance. I mean, knowing what we were in the middle of and what we were trying to embark on, we just always foresaw us, you know, telling our story or thinking that this would be something that we wanted to hear. So we came up with Nico Rocks years ago, and I don't remember, and it was, I remember one day we might have been on vacation together and we were just brainstorming different ideas, and we came up with Nico Rocks. I'm not sure if I did or if she did. And then Romanticize, that was actually recent. I came up with that. I'm super indecisive. That's another characteristic trait that I'm not fond of. Not my greatest traits, where it's just like I will spend 3 hours just trying to buy a pair of shoes. Like it's absolutely ridiculous. And so I had one. I started with something called Grow with Nico, and it was, you know, more inspirational. Just talk. It was always relationship based, but it's all about like elevating our lives on a relationship level. And I had Grow with Nico, and then I had switched it up. And then I was just thinking, oh, my last name is Roe. And then Romanticize, I was like, oh, okay. I kind of like that play on words. So then I finally landed with Romanticize.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's funny. When I read it, I was like, oh, last name, Roe. Makes sense. And I'm like, this is fun. This is wordplay. This is branding. You, same thing with Nico Rocks, and all your names and your concepts are very, you know, somebody gets it in a quick elevator pitch, and I'm a fan of that. So good thing with the branding and being easy to find, and kind of you get the gist of it when you tell somebody the screen name, the handles, or the websites. Who's the perfect client for you? Who would come to you for your services? Who is the perfect client?
Perfect client for me is either a man or a woman who is in a place in their life, whether they've been playing the field and they're finally ready to settle down and looking for longevity and looking for Mr. or Mr. Right, or somebody who maybe has been married before and they've been out the game for a while, they're divorced and now they're finally ready to, you know, explore dating again, and they just don't know how to get started or even what to do. The majority of my clients right now are women, just because they're braver than men. They seem to be more have a more of a willingness to seek help or seek coaching, but I am looking for more men. I work with both, and I think I can, you know, help both men and women equally.
What is a relationship exercise that our listeners should do as soon as possible?
I do one of the, I'm giving you guys a gem. One of the things I do with all my clients before even meeting with them, I have a thorough discovery, self-discovery, to where you really have to spend time with yourself and identify the things that are important to you and things that aren't important to you. I'm not going to disclose specifically everything that's in the discovery, but really you want to identify deal breakers, things that, you know, no matter how amazing somebody is, the things that you wouldn't be able to live with or stand for, and really understand what you're looking for in a relationship, the value that you bring to a relationship, and the type of person that you want to attract. Get it down on paper. And use that. That is going to be something that you always reference, because sometimes we meet people that aren't the right ones, but it feels nice and it's great. And if you have somebody that cares about you, or you're working with a coach, they can call you out on it and always have a reference point to go back to and say, like, I know this feels nice, but these are the things that you said you're looking for, and this person is not displaying those attributes.
Hey, that's good advice. So listeners, be sure to partake in that exercise. Where can people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram, Romanticize. It's Romantic. No, I didn't do that right. it's Romantize, Romanticize. And actually, until the end of the year, I'm working on a case study. So I'm taking on clients 100% pro bono. I have some room for women. I'm really looking for more guys to join the case study. I'm working on a program specifically that you guys will be able to have access to. And I'll be able to, you know, publish it or do like a webinar type type format to where you can, you know, purchase the workshop without spending the money for one-on-one coaching. So I'm working on this case study right now. So I'm just trying to take on volume. I'm working on this until the end of the year. So if you or somebody you know is, you know, in a position where they're looking for companionship or have struggled in the dating realm, please direct them to my Instagram. You could jump in my DMs, and then I'll send you an email and show you exactly how to get started.
And again, your Instagram is... Go ahead,
The Instagram is Romanticize. Yeah, the Instagram is Romanticize. And then also, if you like what we've been talking about, I have a podcast out right now, a podcast and a YouTube channel. The podcast is Going the Distance with Nico Rocks, where my wife and I really disclose the in and outs of our journey from going from an intercontinental long distance relationship all the way to, you know, present day and becoming married and just the ins and outs of that long distance journey, as well as our YouTube channel where we have, you know, fun behind the scenes footage of us recording our podcast along with a lot of lifestyle content where, you know, we talk about our travels, relationship based stuff, family, food, all the fun stuff. It's great entertainment, and I definitely think you guys will enjoy it. So hop on there. And the YouTube channel is On the Go with Nico Rocks. So YouTube, On the Go with Nico Rocks, podcast, Going the Distance with Nico Rocks.
That's right. All the links to the socials, podcast, and YouTube will be in the description of this episode. Details if you're listening on Spotify. And again, don't forget to check your local listings and on demand to catch Nico and his wife Roxy on the Oprah Winfrey Network owns Black Love Doc. Apple listeners, hit that subscribe button if you haven't. Spotify, hit that follow button. And while you're at it, follow me, Sean Allen Live, on every platform. And for more info on this show, search and follow Hear ASAP everywhere. That is H-E-A-R A-S-A-P. See you guys on the next one.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.